Shabbat Shalom once again. And at this time, we have the great opportunity to hear from the great Kohan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, Saints of Yahweh. Man, what a pleasure to be here today. You may be seated. And may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. It's great to be back home. Thanks for paving the way for me. Now I'm going to do my best to pave the way for the next speaker. But I would like to thank you all for all the hard work you're doing in the Peaceful Solution Program. You're making a huge difference out there. Give yourself a hand and then get back to work. Yeah, I was going to mention that as a side note, the work in Laredo is really, really picking up. And what's so great about it is the officials that are helping in this program in the court are really reinforcing it with us. They're really reinforcing what we're telling them, and they're really enforcing it. They're actually making sure that the people are listening, that they're on time. And remember, these people are being taught on a daily basis, 5 days a week. They're coming an hour a day, 5 days a week, and they're growing very rapidly. And because of the cooperation that we have with the officials, it's making a huge difference. You know, when you have that reinforcement from the authority that's over them, it just really makes a huge difference. So I'm really thankful for this peaceful solution and all that it's doing and all that you're doing here, because this is a team effort. You know, everybody is a part of this work, from the youngest to the oldest. Everybody has a part in this. Today, I would like to talk about I was really pleased last week. I thought Pastor's sermon was awesome last week. They just get better and better as the weeks go by. You know, secrets are only revealed here at Yahweh's Great House, and they only come through the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Abel Hawkins. I was kind of tickled because a couple weeks before he mentioned the ships last week, I was looking up, I was thinking of shipping, and I was reading through Revelation, and I saw the word ships, and I thought maybe there was some kind of play on the word or something, and I looked it up, and I thought about a shipping tycoon when I was growing up. His name was Nassir. Nassir, I believe. He was a very wealthy individual. So I thought, let me look up that word tycoon, you know, to see what it means. And sure enough, it was exactly what I thought. It's a Japanese word, and it means, it's from the word tai, T-A-I, which means great. And kun, K-I-U-N, means lord. So another one of the great lords, you know, the elite, the wealthy, the rich, that we've been learning about and how they're controlling this wealth, gaining all this wealth on the city of Seven Hills. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. By the way, did everybody bring this with them? That's okay, you didn't have to. But it's really great is Pastor already wrote one of the scriptures I'm going to be using in this issue. And he must have heard my prayer before I even asked. Because on page 4, if everybody would turn over to page 4 if you have this booklet. If not, go ahead and turn over to Matithiah chapter 7. Matithiah chapter 7. And we're going to be looking at verse 24 through 29. By the way, isn't it beautiful weather out there today? And also, by the way, welcome everyone viewing on the internet across the great universe. We're really glad to have you here today at the Great House of Yahweh, and we pray that everyone's understanding is greatly blessed. So Matithiah chapter 7, verse 24, where it reads, therefore, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And remember, that rock is Yahweh unity. You know, Yahweh is a unity. All 613 laws are kept in the house of Yahweh. They're taught, they're practiced, and they are upheld by this house. This is the only house on the face of the earth, the only family on earth that upholds every word of Yahweh. Make no mistake about that. Nobody else on the face of the earth is doing this. Verse 25, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. Verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine, but does not do them, is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And that's what I would like to talk to you about today, the sand, the house that's built on the sand. That's the title of my sermon. This house was founded upon the rock. And this house will never fall. It's on a sturdy foundation. There's 613 stones that make up the foundation. And the laws, the prophets, the apostles, Yahshua being the chief cornerstone. I mean, how much more solid can you get? I mean, is there anything else that you can put your full faith and confidence in these last days? I mean, if you can, bring forth your witnesses, because there's only two witnesses. And one of them, we know, is going to be resurrected soon. And the other one is sitting in his office right now listening to this sermon. Okay? And his name is Israel Hawkins. But this house on the sand, okay, we're going to be talking about that today. And it says, verse 27, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Please be turning over to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, it's found on page 982, and we're going to be looking at verse, believe it or not, I did bring my glasses, but I'm going to wear them kind of low, that way you don't see how goofy I look with them. Okay, we're going to be looking at verse 7. Because it's talking about the woman, the city on seven hills. And it says, and the Moloch said to me, why are you astonished? I will tell you the mystery. Well, who's that? Who's this Moloch that's going to tell you the mystery? Who's the one that reveals secrets in these last days? And only at the house of Yahweh. This is Pastor Israel Hawkins here, showing Yochanan the mystery of this woman, showing us the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. Let's go back to let's go ahead and move forward on that. Don't worry about it. But I just want you to know that all secrets are revealed by the seventh Moloch. And he's going to tell us everything about all the other six eras before and this era that we are in today. And he's done a very awesome job of explaining these things to us and teaching you in these last days, teaching you and me. You never really know how much knowledge you have until you talk to somebody that has not been taught by pastor. And even the peaceful solution, you would be surprised how much people don't know because they don't have a teacher. They don't have a teacher that's teaching them the truth. This house on sand, I got to give you a little history because a few months ago, Pastor mentioned the Sandusky system. And I got to thinking about, you know, Pastor never says things like that without a reason. And I remember calling him and I asked him, Pastor, you mentioned the Sandusky system. And I know there's got to be something behind that because you never say anything unless you're speaking according to the laws and the prophecies. And he says, I didn't really mean anything by it. Yeah, right. He could play that oaky stuff with other people, but I'm not buying into it. Because I know he wants you to seek it out. He wants us to look in the writings. You know, I don't go outside the writings of the house of Yahweh. I just, all you got to do is look in all the prophetic words, the newsletters, all the books, the I don't know how much we're up to now. Pastor, we could fill the world with the books this man has written. It's just amazing. But the answers are in the books. And so I asked, I was thinking about Sandusky at the time, because this was a few months ago. And then when Pastor brought out the information about Mr. Sandusky being innocent, you know, the man has not been taught the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. He's never been taught even the most basic things that me and you have been taught in this house, and he certainly hasn't been given the full picture of how to conduct himself. So I guess my first starting point is I had to look up the word sand in Sandusky. And that's what I would like to share with you here, because we're going to be working off this scripture, off this, okay. Oh, sorry about that. They say I put the pro in procrastination. I'm still working on that responsibility unit. It's the last one, remember? Okay, so here we go. This word sand is word number 2344, and I'm going to try to zoom in on this. It's word number 2344, and it says round or whirling particles, sand, and it's from word number 2342. So let's go to 2342, and it's the Hebrew word cool, as in, you know, cool, you know, real cool. It says to twist or whirl in a circular or spiral manner. Now let's think about that just for a moment. To twist or whirl in a circular spiral manner. So I'm pondering that. And just right after that, along comes Hurricane Sandy. It's like, wait a minute. Let me go back and look at that word again. Because it said to twist or whirl, and that's exactly what a hurricane does. And as a matter of fact, is there anything the peaceful solution doesn't teach? Because in the responsibility unit of the peaceful solution on page 135, it tells us about hurricanes. It says, a tropical storm becomes a hurricane when it has swirling winds, 74 miles per hour or more, with rain, thunder, and lightning. Hurricanes are powerful, whirling storms that develop from warm easterly waves in tropical regions. And then it gives the categories of the hurricanes, you know, and it talks about the eye of the hurricane being in the center, and it's very calm in the eye of that hurricane. Just like in the city of Seven Hills, you know, it seems really calm, doesn't it? In the eye of the storm. The Holy Sea seems really calm and, you know, nothing going on, no sin going on there, right? But the storm's wall that's going across the land is doing a lot of damage, okay? But the real perpetrators are hidden in the eye where it seems like there's nothing going on. Well, this hurricane, the winds can exceed 155 miles an hour, it says, so got to thinking about that. Wow, you know, what's the odds of this storm being named Sandy right around the time that Sandusky was being sentenced? And let me show you something here. Remember Jerry Sandusky? Charges were brought against Mr. Sandusky in November of 2011. Let me see if I have the... See if I have this on my phone here, because I think I took a picture so I could show you when Hurricane Sandy formed. Bear with me. This is Hurricane Sandy here. It formed, it says. Let's see if I can get that in there where you can. Well, it says it formed on October 22nd, 2012, and then it dissipated on October 31st on Halloween. It dissipated. That means that it went away. It dissolved completely. Well, the interesting thing about this is so did Sandusky, because Sandusky dissipated. They put him away conveniently. By the way, just so you know, before I show you this, Hurricane Sandy was called a superstorm. It wasn't just called a hurricane. This was called a superstorm. Remember, it was converging with two other fronts, and it became a really, really, really big storm. Did a lot of damage. Well, let's see what else occurred on October 31st on their Halloween with Sandy or Sandusky here. It says, on October 23rd, Sandusky was transferred to Camp Hill State Prison in Harrisburg. That was right after he was sentenced. He was then moved to Green State Prison, or Green Franklin Township, where most of the state's life and capital inmates are housed, on October 31st, 2012, to serve his sentence. So he dissipated as well. Went into oblivion, in a hole somewhere, conveniently, where they could just lock him away and forget about him. But you know what? We're going to teach Jerry Sandusky. And Jerry Sandusky may convert to the laws of Yahweh, okay? So, while that was going on, you know, if that wasn't enough, how much time do I got left? Okay, I got some time. If that wasn't enough for you, let's go back to that word again. Because I want to keep our mind focused on, what does this word mean? Notice this word, I can't really get down close, but it says to pervert. To pervert. Now, isn't that what they call homosexuals? A pervert? Well, let's see what else it says. It also says to fall grievously with pain. It means to bring forth, be in great pain. And also notice the last one, it says to be wounded. Be wounded. So right after this took place, right after Sandy, you know, I'm still pondering this sand thing in my head. And then all of a sudden there's a school shooting at a place in Newtown, Connecticut, called Sandy Hook Elementary. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. That's three Sandys in a row. You don't even hear that word most of the time. By the way, the word Sandy actually means, I think if you trace it back, it comes from the word Alexander, which means defender of men. Not defender of these men here. Probably the defender of the system out there, you know. But so this Sandy came up, and I was like, well, this is amazing. You know, another Sandy, three in a row. If you could turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13, we're going to look at verse 1. You know, the apostle Shaul, he did away with the laws of Yahweh, right? He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Well, yeah, he was. He was an apostle to the non-believers. And here's what he told them. This will be the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. And where is he quoting that from? Well, he was quoting it from Deuteronomy 19:15, if you would turn back there. Deuteronomy 19:15, where it says on page 163, it says, one witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense he may have committed. Only in the mouth of two or three witnesses may the matter be established. And also for your notes, you can write down Deuteronomy 17:6, Matthew 18:16, and all those talk about two or three witnesses needing to establish a matter. So Sandy Hook comes up, and I'm like, okay, what date did Sandy Hook fall on? Let me look at that date and just see what we can find. So I looked up word number 1214, which is the date that this shooting took place in Sandy Hook Elementary at Newtown, Connecticut. One of these days, I'm going to have one of these young priests teach me how to use this thing. Okay, 1214, there you go. And it means to finish, be covetous, finish, fulfill, gain greedily, to be given to covetousness. And then there's that be wounded again. Okay? And I'm like, huh, what would be the odds of that? Be wounded, right? But now I also want you to notice what word it is. Batsa, B-A-T-S-A. Kind of like Batman Sandy, you know, or something like that, right? Remember the Batman shooting in Aurora, Colorado, right? Right before that? That everybody was still thinking about, still pondering James Holmes, that was accused of that crime. And And then all of a sudden there's another shooting, mass shooting over there in Sandy Hook, Connecticut. Be turning over to 2 Kefa chapter 2, because Pastor was hitting on this just recently about this covetousness. And in fact, last week, one of the first things that he said is they are murderers. This is a murdering system, okay? This is a system that is churning out, murdering covetous individuals. 2 Kefa chapter 2. It's funny when you lose your glasses up on the table. 2 Kefa chapter 2, verse, we're going to look at 14 on page 962. It says, having eyes full of adultery, and who cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, having a mind expertly trained in covetous practices, cursed children. And that's not just talking about young children. And even though we know that these curses are passed down, we know that from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program and the Building Moral Excellence Unit, that genetics is one of the things that helps form our character. It's one of those things that form who we become. But notice they're expertly trained in covetous practices. And the Peaceful Solution is way ahead of its time, because the Peaceful Solution was teaching way back when it was first created that these video games, okay, these video games and this violence that we're putting out there, that the world is putting out there for our children, they're having an effect. Now, I can tell you right now that we could take that $1 billion that they're saying that they need to do more research to know if that's really true. You know, we need more money to research whether or not these violent video games are really having an impact on our children. Well, no, we don't. What we need to do is take that money and divert it to the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program so we can teach children. You don't need Einstein to figure this out. You don't need another study to figure this out. It's obvious, okay? We can see the signs all around us that these things are causing this harm to our children's minds and to our minds. You know, it's always kind of made me chuckle when I hear people say, well, you know, yeah, I think those things are too violent for children, you know. They should have an adult warning label on it. Well, what makes you think, adult, that you're any different? What makes you think that those video games and those violent movies and those sexually explicit movies that they showed Mr. Sandusky, what makes you think you're going to turn out any different? Because Pastor used that word murderer, and I remember, I believe in First Yochanan, doesn't it say that he who hates his brother is a murderer? You know, it's not just killing someone with a knife or a gun or dropping a bomb on somebody. You know, we can murder our brother by telling them something that's different from what the house of Yahweh is teaching and lead them straight off course to another place. So it's a system. This system is bringing forth murder and covetousness. Turn over to, if you would, and that word, keep that word covetous in mind. Let me get back to my, I had all my notes written in my new prophetic word here. If you could turn over to Proverbs 15:27, and it's found on page 506. Now, I want you to keep all those things in mind about that house built on the sand. And remember, Yochanan said he stood upon the sand of the sea. Remember that? And the sea was the multitudes, nations, languages. And he stood upon the sand of that sea. And remember, he said that Babylon's going to fall and it's going to collapse. And great is going to be the fall of it. And if you notice, is it not collapsing right now? But notice, it's not a sudden collapse. It's, though it seems slow, I believe the prophet said, though it seems slow, wait for it, because it's surely coming. You can see their system is crumbling. This is not going to be a quick transition. We're making a transition, okay? And we're starting to see the minds of certain people and individuals that are in authority opening up, and they're going to help in this transition, okay? They're going to be there to help us, and we're going to be assisting them and showing them, you know, the right way to go. Look at 15, verse 27. It says, "He who is greedy for gain brings trouble on his own house, but he who hates bribes will live." You know, it isn't any wonder that Pastor told us to put the gift giving away, because that's what a bribe is. And if we're taking gifts from others, this we're destroying, you know, our own house, our own future. Okay, and this is what the Catholic Church is doing. This house that's built on the sand, they're greedy for gain. Also, turn over to Proverbs 1:19, just a few pages back. Proverbs 1:19, where it reads. Actually, look at verse 15. "My son or my daughter, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet out of their path, for their feet rush into trouble as they make haste to shed blood." That means commit crime or play video games that show crime being committed. What makes you think it's any different when Yahshua said, whatever you do, it's coming from the heart? So if you're sitting there shooting something in a video game, what are you doing? Are you bringing forth life? No, you become a waster and a destroyer if you're partaking in these things. "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet out of their path." Verse 17, "What use is it to set the trap when the birds can see it? But these men lie in wait for their own blood. They are only ambushing their own lives. Such is the way, the end of everyone who is greedy for ill-gotten gain, committing crime. It takes the lives of those who possess it." Look over at the side note, G11. He says, in which he concludes that the covetous man is a murderer. Now you see that? The covetous man is a murderer. And this city on sitting on seven hills, like Yahshua said, what's it gonna benefit you if you gain the whole world and you lose your life? Brothers and sisters, you know, this is the only place on the face of the earth that reveals secrets in these last days and that can give you life. There's no other place outside of the house of Yahweh. Money will not save you. Okay, I can tell you right now, money is very scarce, especially to us, you know, because we serve Yahweh. And you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way. I like living life on the edge. You know, if I had all those riches, I would just know that, oh, yeah, my bills are going to be paid. I don't need. Who needs Yahweh? Who's that? You know, I got everything I need. No. You know, it's kind of like my driving. Some of these guys will attest to you. I bring people very close to Yahweh when I drive. Okay? They do a lot of praying, okay, in the back seat. So, you know, hey, I'm a benefit in that way. I'm working on my driving. I'm trying to be more responsible. But hey, I get you to your appointments, okay? So give me some slack. Now, in my closing 2 minutes, I do want to really just encourage you, because, you know, all these events surrounding this house built on sand, it's showing you that their system is bringing forth death and destruction. It's perverting the minds of the people. They're churning out covetous, murdering individuals. But you know what? We're being trained to bring them life through the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. And people are responding. Let me tell you something. I got to tell you this little story before. It's not a story. It's actually true. But a couple days ago in class, in our advanced class, in the respect class in the courthouse there, we were doing that little lesson on water. Like, if you were king for a day, what could you do to clean up our water, you know, to make sure we have fresh, clean water? And I'm not, Yahweh's my witness, a man raised his hand and he said, well, I think if we could get everybody to stop having sex together that's not married, we could stop having all these STDs in the air. I'm not making that up. The people out there, they don't have a problem accepting it when you show them online that Fox News article that shows there's herpes in the coral reef. You don't need to show them a scripture to prove that. It's in their own newspapers. Okay, so the people, when they see that, there's no wall that goes up. They say, oh, okay, yeah, and they readily accept it. So remember, you know, the things that we're being taught here, the people marvel at out there, okay? And I'd like to thank Pastor right now for making us look so intelligent, you know? But at this time, if you'd all please stand. May Yahweh continue to bless your understanding on this beautiful Sabbath day. It's been a pleasure talking to Yahweh's called out ones. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Sephania Owen Hawkins.
May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have a lot of really great news stories this morning. And the first one is probably going to gross you out. If you're hungry, this will end that. It's about 23-foot-long pork tapeworms in the brain, which is the number one cause of epilepsy, adult-onset epilepsy. And it's called, which is really amazing, it's called neurocystocerosis, and it's caused by cystocerce. That's the scientific name, actual cystocerce. And cerce is the worm, and I think cyst means a cyst, and you know, when you translate this with the understanding that we have, it really means a disease of the brain caused by church. And they're going to show the brain. They said it looks like a starry sky when you look at it with an MRI. And then he shows the autopsy version, which is a picture of the brain. And when you see this, you're going to see the cysts are real visible. Put in your mind Christmas decorations. Just think of that when you see this. That'll might keep you from practicing Christmas if you have any inclination whatsoever. But then we're going to have a 15-year-old boy in New Mexico killed his father, his mother, his 2-year-old, 5-year-old, 9-year-old siblings. And each victim was shot several times. And this was in their own house, so they can put a security patrol on the front of each door of each person's house to try to stop this. And then they had a 34-year-old female pediatrician came home. She hired an exterminator to get mice out of her house. They had the security camera of her going in, and then the exterminator guy going in, and then 45 minutes he came out. He said that she had disrespected him, so he beat her over the head, strangled her to death, and then set her on fire. And they're saying he had an anger problem in the past. Now this goes to, a lot of people will still hire people out in the world to come into their homes, but you have no idea who you're hiring when they come into your house to do jobs like fix things. I used to work in this type of industry, and you become very expert at going into people's houses and the patterns, and they trust you eminently. What else to keep in mind? The covetous man. When you do this, you're really inviting a covetous man into your home. Okay, and remember, a covetous man is a murderer. Okay, then we're going to have Scott Pelley, and he's going to talk about gun violence in Oakland, California. Four murders in one day within 6 hours, and these are unrelated murders. The man says, the problem is these people are not afraid to kill you. And that's not the problem, because that implies that the solution is to make them afraid to kill you. You have to make it so they don't want to kill you in the first place. See, so this is what their idea is. We just make them afraid to kill you, and that will solve it. And then we have India, which is actually warning its citizens to prepare for nuclear war with Pakistan, which is unprecedented. And then we have North Korea threatening to target the USA with nuclear missiles because of the sanctions, because they're going to get back at the U.S. The new leader says he can't be pushed around. And you can see we're pushing him around. Now he's going to push us around, and it's going to ultimately end up with 4/5 of the Earth's population dead. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins! Hello, everyone!
We're praising you, Yahweh. Oh, this is wonderful.
You may be seated. Beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful day. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're seeing what the world is coming to. They're calling, if you noticed it there, they're calling Pakistan a dysfunctional nation. And of course, that's what we saw in that boy that killed his parents and brothers and sisters. He is dysfunctional, they call it. Mentally disturbed, mentally eating too much pork. Finally got to his brain, and so he did stupid things. The problem is, you know, the whole world is dysfunctional today. And yeah, after Yahweh's warning, you know, he warned them all the way, starting with Abel. And of course, he's going to bring forth from this rotten world a golden priesthood. Now, I know that this week, last Sabbath, I mentioned this going for the gold, and hopefully during the week you noticed how dysfunctional you were. One elder said the pressure was so great he could feel it. He said he could feel the pressure on him. And of course, there was trouble everywhere. Y'all didn't notice any yourselves. The females didn't, right? Well, I knew that was going to take place, and I didn't know of any way to go for it except what we did, just tell you what we're shooting for this Passover. But I knew that Satan was going to try to throw a stumbling block in front of everyone. But your emotions, you know, it's something you've got to control, and we've gotten a little bit of that. In fact, I guess we've got a lot of it, what the world has got. The only thing, Yahweh says you can overcome it, and you just have to set your mind to do so and pray that Yahweh heals any part of the mind that might cause it to blank out and cause you to do something crazy. You're doing things crazy anyway, some of them, but to get real crazy and start, you know, losing your mind and threatening to kill and murder, you can see how much you've got to overcome. And we got 2 months to do it. I'm thinking you really need to work really hard. If you notice the two states, Pakistan and India, and there's no doubt that both these states, all the states, all the nations are today, they're just dysfunctional. As you would, that's a great description of what we're facing here. And of course, it's going to get worse. But these two dysfunctional nations are calling it, they have their fingers on nuclear weapons. I hope to have some more on Pakistan and India next week, and of course North Korea too. But they do have warheads. They have a huge number of nuclear weapons. And if you just think, you know, it's kind of like buying these assault rifles. Now, you know, I don't think anyone would buy an assault rifle for deer hunting or killing wolves or anything like that. You know, you could do that with a .22, but the assault rifles, and when a person plans an army, which a lot of people have because they're living in fear that the government is going to do like it did in Europe and take the people's rights away from them, and of course this is what they're building up weapons for. And the weapons that they've used, that they're buying, of course, other people can steal them. People in the family that never suspect this would take place among family members, but this is what it's for. But you take a whole nation here, and you're seeing, and they're actually saying that nation is dysfunctional. Of course, if they would look at the rest of the nations, they are too. And they don't know. See, these people walk down the street. They live in houses. The families haven't said anything about them being crazy or anything. They haven't been arrested or anything like that. But they're living a quite peaceful life, working, and they got for the corporations. And but all of a sudden, it comes out that wasn't when it started. You can see it's planned, like Pakistan with all of its nuclear weapons. And, of course, America with all of its nuclear weapons. And they've used them. America has used them. And they didn't have to, but they did. And none of the world has to go to war, and eventually the golden priesthood will actually wipe all of this out. I hope to get to one scripture that actually will start the ball to rolling, but any time you hear the word gold or see it, you might take note of it and try to study it some, and then I'll try to put it together for you, hopefully between now and Passover. But the thing that we're seeing now is nations that are getting ready for nuclear war. And if you, I don't know if that was brought out, but India is telling their people to stock food because we are going into nuclear war. And of course, ambassadors are being taken out of the countries in certain places because they know that this is going to take place. And people, the people are asleep to this. There's books being written and articles being put out. There's books being written and articles put out about what to do, how to survive, and so forth. But no one is taking note. They'll pass up preparing for something so they can get a telephone or a push button gadget of some kind, or you know, then find all kinds of excuses. I've seen people forego buying supplements that they need for their body, or one person needs for it in a family, and they'll take that same money and go and buy alcohol or cigarettes, which is a wreck to the human body, depending on how you use it. But you know, you have choices, and you're being judged for those choices. And I'm hoping you'll choose the gold. We have the most promises made to us, the greatest promises of any work of Yahweh. We're the finishing work, and of course we're the work that is going to receive this power first. And in fact, the rest of the works behind us will, you're going to receive power that they won't. You're really going to hold a great position at Yahweh's left hand. There's only one other, and that's Yahshua and his people that followed and died for him. So your position is going to be the greatest there is throughout all eternity. So you got a great deal to look forward to here, and it's all promised to you in plain language, and the prophecies are coming true. So it's something that you can base your hopes on and overcome. That's all Yahshua asked. He that overcomes, you're going to be a pillow in Yahweh's house in this time period. But you've got to overcome. Let's go back to Genesis, the fourth chapter, and of course this is bringing us down to the present time, but how it gets there, there's a lot of things you need to know and a lot of history. Pakistan, I believe, is, I believe that's Hindu, or maybe I got it wrong, and then India is... Anyway, they don't worship Mary. So I could easily see why these two nations here would be the start of this nuclear wars. But once they start, there's, of course, no stopping it. Yahweh shows they won't repent in the middle of it. It's going to keep on going until the Pope's orders are complete. And, of course, the Pope's orders started with with Cain, who actually killed Abel. And we see here in verse 4 is what I want you to see, the unity that Abel has with Yahweh, complete unity. Yahshua harped on this a lot, and of course he showed that throughout the Holy Scriptures, he shows that unity, obeying orders, to obey. That is the main thing that we have to do. And Satan, I know, is an expert at deceiving. So what she tries to do is throw you off to get you away from the place that Yahweh set up, or the one that Yahweh sent to teach you. Now that you can't go wrong. In that way, you can't go wrong. But, you know, if you obey and follow instructions, you know, but if you don't obey, then it's a bad thing that's goes on your record and shows you can't be trusted with the powers that Yahweh actually is desiring to give you. But here we see Abel, he says, also brought a sacrifice, brought of the firstlings of the flock of, I'm telling you right now, this is not sheep and goats he's talking about. And you could see the results of his offering that he offered Yahweh was people, same thing that we're doing now. And his offerings were acceptable because Abel taught them the laws of Yahweh. But you're classified here, they are as sheep and goats. But if you'll get it in your mind that he's a priest, and I'm going to prove that in just as we go here, he was a priest that offered satisfactory people, characters, individuals to Yahweh, and they were acceptable to Yahweh. And of course, his work went on down through the centuries. But you see, he was in unity there with Yahweh, and Yahweh honored Abel. He honored him and his offerings that he brought to Yahweh. If you go over to Hebrews now and keep that in mind, we'll come back to it later, much later, but keep it in mind and go to Hebrews 11 and the apostles' writings here. That I say apostles, I don't know that for sure, but it's for that time period. But it could have been, well, there's no use going into that. Don't know why I did. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. We see here by the faith. Now, this is the whole sum of the 613 laws that guides to total perfection, as another prophet said. And Hebrews 11:4 says, by the faith Abel offered to Yahweh a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And of course, when you sacrifice your feelings, when you sacrifice objects for that you're wasting money on, and you sacrifice it for the work or one of the family that needs it, that's all considered sacrifices, and it's not sacrificing animals. Yahweh, believe it or not, Yahweh never, ever asked for a sacrifice. Sacrifice and offerings he didn't even want. But it was set up to keep reminding people of sin and what sin brings. It brings death, and that's what the altar of burnt offerings was. It was a total reminder all the time of four nations, four kingdoms that was going to rise, and the last one was going to be led by the Catholic Church, And I'm telling you this in a nutshell, but the culmination of these, and Yahweh said, I'm going to transport you beyond Babylon. Well, of course, that was meant the seven hills of Rome beyond Babylon. And surely we all understand that by now. And of course, that's a great city that sits on seven hills. It's ruling the world. And he transported them there. This is all in Yahweh's plan. Took them out of the land of Israel, transported them there where they would rule, but also where they would end this nuclear war, with a third part of man being killed over that fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates. Well, here we see, though, that Abel now, he had his gifts were satisfactory because he had taught these people. And through it, through these, this wonderful sacrifice of these people who would not accept Baal worship and would not join in the rat race. Heard some preacher say the other day, talking about the rat race that he was in, and he said, even if I won, I'd still be a rat. And of course, that's the way it is, but that's the way all the world is today. And very few will forego that and get their minds on study. It's the pull for pleasure. The pull for pleasure just outweighs the knowledge and need, and the need that you know that you need, you know, is the studies of the book of Yisrael, the book of Yahweh, listening to the tapes instead of things that can't benefit your mind. The tape sermons, those things are very beneficial, and especially at this time period, and constant reminders. If you just get your mind set on it, we have a new song we're going to present this feast that they were telling me, our song experts was telling me this is the most beautiful song. And I said, now, what do you mean? You're talking about pleasurable to listen to and all the words. Well, I agreed with them. But those things are constant reminders, like the golden rats or golden mice. And the things that Moshe put in front of the people. And this gold that I'm putting in front of you for this feast, I want you to go all out to do this thing, but for Yahweh, we have the material. We have all kinds of means that Yahweh has set up for us to get these gold vests for the men, and we'll make you a full suit if you want it. we'll get it some way. A gold keepers. The head, gold headscarves and of all kinds, and I'm not talking about things that will show off our physical beauty. We don't judge by that, but the modest dress that shows off our righteousness, and that's what we want to praise Yahweh, and that's what we're going to display this feast, and hopefully everyone will go all out for it. But notice that his gifts here pleased Yahweh, and the Amplified Bible, if I have that here, a copy of it, of this verse 3 says, by the faith we understand that the worlds during the successive age were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. Now, all of that is in that verse there, but of course, if you notice the great David Kohan Yehuda's work, you'll notice that the Hebrew words actually, if they were translated, it would actually spell out these things, and the Amplified Bible, they didn't just add this. They added it to what the King James translated, but this could be legally translated. In fact, that's what it means right there, that during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose. Well, of course, that intended purpose was what Abel brought, the laws of Yahweh, but it also means what is, and 99% of the prophecies is actually showing what you're going to become and what you're going to receive here in the very near future. These wars are, looks like, is closing in on us right now. And what manner of person should you be, knowing what this end result is going to be? It's actually painted for you, and every one of those prophecies are coming to pass in detail. It always amazes me how much detail Yahweh puts in these prophecies. By the word of Yahweh, so that what we by the word of Yahweh, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. In other words, microorganisms. And I don't know if he knew. I think they did. I think Yahshua probably revealed to them, and since it was hidden, of course, it was disguised and never put into any way where a person could see it. The verse 4 now, prompted, actuated by the faith, Abel brought Yahweh a better, more acceptable sacrifice. Well, of course, he's meaning talking about righteousness here. Being acceptable to Yahweh, that's what Yahshua said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And you get that way by the same way Yahshua, by keeping the perfect laws, as Deuteronomy says, the perfect laws that Yahweh gave us. And he also shows this here in Book 2 through Moshe. And by faith, Abel brought this a more perfect, acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous. He kept the laws of Yahweh. What is righteousness? It's, of course, Deuteronomy 6:25 said, practice these laws, and this is your righteousness. And then 1 John 3:4, 7, and 8 said, the practice of these laws makes a person righteous. Then he was upright and in right standing with Yahweh, and Yahweh bore witness. You notice that now? He bore witness of him. That is, the people knew that he was sent by Yahweh. Yahweh is the one that bore witness of him. And by accepting, acknowledging his gift, and though Abel died, yet through his actions, or these actions, he is still speaking. He's still speaking to us. Now, of course, the so is Moshe. Let's be turning over to Deuteronomy. So is Moshe speaking to us, and all of his words, all the prophets and apostles. And then this last work, Yahweh shows you how great it's going to be. Let's go to Deuteronomy. No, there's no use in going there. I just quoted it. Let's go to Matthew 23. This last day's work that you're in here, remember what he says about it, it's going to overshadow even the coming out of Egypt. It's going to overshadow because this is the strongest pulls of Satan is right now. She has every way of tempting mankind, subliminal suggestions that you get from all directions, especially in as you go into stores and worldly places, or somebody drives down the road with some boom boxes in his car and shoving that in your mind. There's all kinds of ways. But the push buttons now, so I understand, some of these games have a lot of this subliminal suggestions in it that steer people to doing things that they don't intend to do. So you really need to be careful of those things too. In the Savior's writings, in the Savior's words, in Matthew 23, he testifies in verse 35, he testifies of Abel. He says, "So that upon you now," this is speaking of the system, the rebellious system, started with Cain and then rebuilt by Cush and comes down to us today in the form of four great empires that we see ruling the world right now and trying to rule the world. It had it successfully there for a little while, but they split off from one another inside as they got power, the same thing as they did in Israel. And of course, what you're seeing, these fights that we're seeing now, as was talking about last night, in fact, the things that you're seeing take place among the nations, those nations were all in Europe, all in Israel, the tiny land of Israel at one time. What Yahweh told Moshe, take them to this land. And of course, they were fighting with each other. That is, as each trying to take advantage of the other. Well, as Yahweh took them beyond Babylon then and scattered the 12 tribes throughout the nations, as he showed in Genesis 49, then all of this has come down to us. It was scattered throughout the nations, in the people, their characters, they're all the same. And what we're seeing now in the world, we see the nations that was once in Israel fighting against each other, trying to take advantage, one king taking advantage of another. And this is the same thing we're seeing now in all these nations of the world. It's the same system, so it's still doing the same thing, but it's spread throughout the world. And of course, Yahweh says this is what's going to bring the destruction, the great burning and the fallout and so forth. It's just a bitterness that we must root out. We've got to get rid of this out of our bodies and show Yahweh that we're willing to. You may not get rid of all of it as long as you have this body that we're living in, but you'll certainly prove to Yahweh that you're worthy to accept this new body that will never die, that he will give us. Praise Yahweh. So that upon you, this four nations now that was prophesied to be put together, this religion leading the armies, upon you, so that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the whole earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. So here Yahweh testifies again, and the Savior, did you get that? Yeshua himself testifies of Abel and calls him righteous. Says Abel, he's saying here, Abel kept the laws of Yahweh. That's what Yeshua is saying about him. Righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, that he showed you murdered, whom you murdered between the porch and the altar. Let's go back now to 2 Samuel, and we've covered this some, but this time I want to really cover it and show you all the hidden things that are shown here in this writing. It's a It's a beautiful thing what we see here, as all the scriptures are. There's tons of sermons in every verse, I think, of the scriptures. When you get it translated properly, then There's even more sermons in it to be explained. But 2 Samuel now, 20. 2 Samuel 20. Let's notice verse 18. I know that all of you remember this and how the ark was taken, and by what I just got through talking about, the wars that was going on among the kings. The kings would get an army and they would, in Israel. These were kings in Israel. And they called them different things, but they were Israelites that split off to another one section, and then they formed an army, and they wanted to get greedy, and like Tyre, and when she saw Jerusalem falling, she says, well, I'll just go in and take over their wealth. Well, of course, Yahweh had plans for Jerusalem, even though it was a wicked, evil city, and they turned the house of Yahweh into a temple of all kinds of gods. Yahweh had a purpose for it, and that purpose was your sacrifice, Yahshua. He had to be killed there by the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Yahweh said of Tyre, he said this to Satan, because you think you're brilliant, you think you're tough, but here's what's going to take place to your plan. If you'd read that story about Tyre, you'll see that Yahweh is in control, as Yochanan 1:1 says, and nothing goes by him, and nothing occurs that he's not fully aware of and must permit it. He actually permits it to take place. But he says in verse 18 now, after some of these groups came and got the ark, and of course took it to their place, and Yahweh, of course, went through much action here. I don't have time to go into it right now, but we will just cover just a little, and you could actually rehearse this yourself by rereading this later. But in verse 18, he says, and she, this was a wise woman living in Israel, knowing the scriptures, knowing what took place. Now, in the world today, if you'd think how great this is right here, especially that it occurred about 2,800 years after Abel, but this woman now, she knew the history of this city. She knew Abel. She didn't know him personally, but from his writings. And of course, if you asked a person today about why is Abilene called Abilene? But you see the difference here now in that and this woman. And she is a wise woman. Ask someone in Abilene sometime, if you know, a worldly person. What does Abilene mean? Well, of course, you know what Abilene means. You know what Abel means, because the great David Yehuda Hawkins brought it to you. Where? At Yahweh's house. Remember? Years ago. Well, he says, then she spoke, saying, they used to speak. Now, these words, they used to speak, the King James Version says, they were wont to speak. And that word won't, if you had a King James Version, I have a copy here in front of me. I taped it to my Book of Yahweh so I could have it handy for teaching. But the word, I brought this years ago, but rehearse it. The word won't is 1696, meaning commanded. This wasn't just an afterthought or saying, well, you know, they got some pretty great intelligent judges over there in that rocky place in Galilee. Why was Abilene built? Well, this wise woman knew why it was built, and she knew where the answers were. But they were actually commanded. They wouldn't just want to speak, but they were actually commanded. Meaning commanded comes from the word debar, which Brown and Driver and Braggs refers us to Deuteronomy Deuteronomy 31 and verse 19, if you'll hold your place right there and turn to Deuteronomy 31, 19. Now, there's people of Satan that would tell you that the laws wasn't presented until Moshe's time, but of course, Satan likes to lie. And she tells a bunch of them, as Yeshua said. 31 and verse 19, he says, now this perfect law, this is what Brown and Driver refers you to. Brown and Driver and Braggs, these are the books that we use, plus a number of others that we use, but they're ancient books, but they haven't been changed, and of course, they bring a lot of truth to you, and Yahweh made them available to his house in this last generation, and they show his name, they show Abel and what it means, they show all the places through the so-called Old and New Testament, which is book one and book two of the book of Yahweh. They show all the places where they left out Abel. They just left it out. They just decided they didn't want it in there at all. Well, they must have known what it meant, or they wouldn't have fought so hard to get rid of that word. But he says, and they refer it to Deuteronomy 31:19, says, now this perfect law is therefore written for you, which means they had pen and ink and a way to write. Way back then. This was the Stone Age, wasn't it? This was before they had nuclear bombs. Written for you, teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths so that I have this perfect law bearing witness for those who reverence Yahweh. Now, if you think about this while we're coming to this gold area, this gold period that you can be a part of, if you think about this, Satan and her crew on the seven hills actually wiped out all of this, took it all away from the people, made it a death penalty to own. And for 2,000 years, you couldn't get a Bible, you couldn't get a manuscript. But this had to be put in the mouth of this servant of Yahweh that they're still wondering who he is. It had to be put in the mouth of the witnesses. So you see that Yahweh, in Yahweh's plan, he had a particular time, which Daniel shows that particular time, when he would actually put the Bible back in the hands of the people, and then it would be taken to the ends of the earth. Now you remember that scripture. Be taken to the ends of the earth, where a woman there who was prepared to teach would actually take that and teach it to Yahweh's last day servant, the servant spoken of throughout the Holy Scriptures that they're wondering about. She would teach it and prepare him, get the ball to rolling in his mind to prepare for this great work of a time and times and the dividing of times. So you see, nothing gets by Yahweh, and he's got everything under control, and nothing takes place that wasn't permitted by Yahweh. So it was permitted that all of this be taken away to show what the world comes to now. Well, what did it come to? Come and let us destroy these people, and we'll take their land and their wealth. Now, this was coming forth from the spiritual leaders, the popes themselves. And of course, history shows this. History is full of it. Even Malachi Martin wrote of it, their top writer for the Catholic Church before he died. Why won't people believe this today? Any encyclopedia
has it. You could Google it right now and get it on your television sets, on your computers. Well, back to 2 Samuel now. This was by Brown and Driver. This word, this is all found in the word won't, in the King James Version. Then she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old days, in old times, that word means in the beginning. Same Hebrew words there is used here, but translated differently. In the beginning. In Zechariah now, if you will go to Zechariah 5, and remember this here in 2 Samuel, and also the perfect law, and remember I brought forth this word meaning, the word won't also contains the word command. Command. It was commanded you go to Abel. In the beginning, it was commanded you go to Abel. In the beginning. In the beginning, Yahweh made the heaven and the earth and created a man named Abel. And in the end, he created another man named Abel. Isn't that beautiful? And been hidden from the world all this time. But now, keep that in your mind and go to Zechariah 5. Chapter 5 and verse 5. 5:5. And he says here, in speaking, of course, now you know that all of this is speaking of the last day's work and the two witnesses. And of course, one of them coming from the east and bringing it to establish the work in the west. And verse 5 here said, then the Moloch, who was speaking, that's a messenger, who was speaking with me, came forward and said to me, lift up your eyes now and understand that which is sent by commandment. Yes, let me read that again. Then the messenger who was speaking with me came forward and said to me, lift up your eyes now and understand that which is sent by commandment. Now, if you go back here to this word in Abel, speaking of Abel in 2nd, you got that in your mind? Go back to 2 Samuel again. This word won't. That's what it means. It means command. The word in the beginning. Now I want to, I don't know if you could see this. I enlarged it. Let me see if I can roll it in where you could see this. This is a King James Version. Made a copy and cut it out to go in my book of Yahweh use it to study. But this is a copy of this verse, and it's going to blur. Here it says then she spake, saying, they were wont. They were wont. There's an L here by the side of they. Now, in the footnotes, if you go down here, I got a line going, and here, Dr. Thayer, they plainly, this is what it said, they plainly spake in the beginning. So they got this in the King James Versions, if you got a King James Version that has the center reference. So, instead of saying they were wont to speak, it said, they plainly spake in the beginning, saying, surely they will ask at of Abel, saying, surely they will ask of Abel and so make an end. Now, this law was in the beginning, and that's the reason they want to get rid of the word able, and they have in hundreds of places got rid of that word. Now, in Zechariah 5:5, it shows this goes forth by command. This is by command in the last days now, in the future days. Chapters 5 and 6, speaking of the two witnesses in those chapters, it goes forth by commandment in these last days. By commandment. In verse 8, see footnote on 1 Samuel. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 6 and verse 18. 1 Samuel 6 and verse 18. I'll try to have more time for next week, but everybody got it? I want you to see this in the book of Yahweh. I'll wait on you. It's on page 277. 1 Samuel 6 and verse 18. Now, the word, verse 18, the gold rats, one of them translate this gold mice. The gold mice represented the number of all the cities of the five rulers of the Philistines, the fortified cities with their country villages, Abel, the great house of Yahweh, where they set the ark of Yahweh, is a witness to this day in the field of Yahshua of Beth Shemesh. So the house of Yahweh, that they translated Great Rock of Yahweh or Great Stone of Abel, the fortified cities with the, but notice again, the gold rats or mice, as it's called in other places, and I think we should have put that, gold mice represented the number of all the cities of the five rulers of the Philistines. The fortified cities with their country, fortified with an army is what it's talking about, and high walls, and a way of defending themselves from the continual wars, people wanting to take over. Fortified cities with their country villages, Abel, the great house of Yahweh, where they set the ark of Yahweh, they're bringing it back now. They brought it back. Remember the mooing cattle and cows? And they went to this place, to the house of Yahweh at Abel, where they set the ark of Yahweh, is a witness to this day. To this day, it's a witness. Yes, it's a witness. And still bearing witness right here as I read it to you and it goes out to all the world, is a witness to this day in the field of Yahshua of Beth Shemesh. That is, it occurred there, but it's a witness to us today right here in this writing. How Yahweh actually did all of this with cows that would have went the other way ordinarily, but he brought them to. And they knew by that, they knew they didn't believe, and they didn't turn to Yahweh. This should have been something that would have turned all these nations. But Yahweh told them what to bring, made them bring these gold mice. Was there a reason for that? Yes, it is. Okay, let's go back now to turn back over to Samuel. And look at the footnotes here to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And look at the footnotes in your book of Yahweh. This carries you a long way. Verse 18. The first house of Yahweh was established by Abel, Genesis 4, 2 through 10. And the site on which it stood was named after Abel. Since the house of Yahweh is the pillar and ground of the truth, as 1 Timothy 3:15 shows, one would in the days of Abel, or a long time after that now, as I'll show you here in just a moment, go to the house of Yahweh where Abel established it to receive the truth. Well, of course, that was a command later. That was a command by Moshe. Seek the place that Yahweh chooses to place his name. Of course, very few people, you know, even know where the 12 tribes were taken to when they left Egypt. So, you know, and you've got to know so much to order to come to that understanding. So they are held in blindness by stupidity. And this is the way the nations all are held today. They know nothing about the scripture. They know nothing about the holy scriptures of the plan of Yahweh. It was taken from them, and it was put under seal, as Daniel shows, where nothing could be understood until the last days when he saw two witnesses in the last days. And then, of course, he said, "I will in the last days, I will establish my house." For the purpose, of course, of revealing these, what was sealed for so many thousand years, to where the world would see what it's like being without this great wisdom of Yahweh, his laws. Well, that and Abel established it to receive the truth. This was the city of Abel in the mountainous region, Gibeon, in northern Israel, called Abilene in Luke 3:1. See the footnotes on 1 Samuel 6:18, which we've already read, and of course the work that we're doing now under this same name, named after this same one. But I want to give you this now before we close. In Genesis 4 and verse 1 and 2, Genesis 4 verse 1 and 2, I've got to turn to that to show you this. Genesis 4. Genesis 4, if you want to write this down, verse 3 was written, or it took place in BCE 4003. If you want to write that by the side of that verse, knowing these dates, it helps a lot. And of course, there's some of the scriptures that you can't understand unless you have these dates, and they are given. The number in scripture by H.L. Bullinger is a great book. It's a very boring book, but it's a great book to understand how they got these, but they get them on men and their families that trace back to them. There's a lot of work that's been done in this generation by the increase of knowledge. And of course, the Bible that I used to sell, I was so thrilled with that Bible, the Hertel Blue Ribbon Bible, because it has recognized dates by each scripture. But you can get it in other places besides that, but that was a great help to me when I first got that. But verse 3 was written 4003 BCE. Verse 3. Cain, 128 years old, is when he killed Abel. And so in 4003, from that to the time he killed Abel was 3875. 3875, if you want to put that by the side of your scripture there, where Cain killed Abel. Cain talked with Abel and killed him, verse 8. That was 128 years later. Second Samuel now was written, if you got those numbers down, 4003, put underneath that 3875. That was 128 years later that Cain killed Abel. So Abel had about 128 years or something like that to work. So he had a large work. He had a group of people that was dedicated to the work. And from that work, that woman said, "This is a mother city," meaning, of course, that brought life to Israel and had since Abel. Now, if you write down 3875, and then you put underneath it the time of Samuel's prophecy here in 2 Samuel 20 and verse 18, or verse 16, the wise woman. You put down the number BCE 1022. 1022. You got that? Everybody got it? Now, you subtract that, you get 2,853 years from the time of Abel to the time of Samuel's prophecy here. 2,853 years, and this wise woman was saying this almost 3,000 years later, Abel is still teaching. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Abel still speaking at Abel. And of course, he's speaking then, and that's saved the city, and they put the person out. But think of that. And now, his work that he did back then is still being used in this last Abel that Yahweh has raised up, the last house of Yahweh. At Abel in the west of the original work. Now that's Yahweh's plan, and nothing has ever altered that plan. So beautiful. I think I'll end right there for this week. I wanted to get on to some other things, but we'll try to take up here when we get back next week. The thing we've got to do on this, I'll get deeper into the going for the gold. You'll get deeper into troubles. And maybe you won't. Maybe you'll set your mind in advance this week and you'll laugh at things, laugh it off instead of getting angry. And, giving it the A-OK sign. But know that Yahweh is judging you. Know that you can receive the best, the highest job ever offered to mankind. You can receive it in this last generation. Why? Because first off, you've got to believe without seeing. You're not going to have the miracle, so of course you are now, but you was already here and proven that you'll believe without seeing. And the next thing is you're willing to overcome. And he that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, the same I'll make as a pillar in the house of my Father. May Yahweh bless you, brethren. I'll say, turn it over to the next leader. I love you.